is yours, the world is yours.
Welcome to Rex's World. It's another day, another show, but today is special because the Knicks are the NBA champions. Let's go Knicks, go New York, go New York, go. And he's going to have to follow this, but we're here today with our guest, Sean Jordan, everybody.
What's cracking? I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Awesome, man.
I'll tell you this. I'm happy the finals are over because your fans were getting a little unruly up there. Holy buckets.
Those kids, man, they can really go nuts
at it. What was it, Five Guys? They're throwing the stools over them. Yes. Like, holy cow.
Yes, yes. It was like into like 3, 4 a.m. and the cops are still like holding the line.
And it's, I mean, it was just kids. You see they're like 17. I was doing wild stuff too, but it's just like, okay, let's be done with this.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite part of that was when at the Five Guys, the fryer guy was using the fry basket to like try to fend everybody off behind the counter.
This thing's still hot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that would scare me. I've got a chicken strip, little bounce back from the grease on my arm.
Uh-uh.
I wasn't excited about it.
No, could not. Couldn't stand like getting any closer to the fryer. I don't think I'd ever be a good kitchen worker.
It's nice having a Knick victory. We were talking about this because something I didn't necessarily feel one way or the other. I just wanted a good series. I'm not too into either team, not in a bad way, but it's when something good happens to New York, I feel like that resonates with the country and the world a little more than when something good happens in San Antonio. Because in New York, it's like the center of the universe, you know, so you're like, great, something positive for everyone's morale in the whole country. Yeah. Like that's I was really hyped that they won because of that.
Watching the parade this morning, it was really cool because just seeing, granted, they had to report that, you know, when the security lines would break and the crowds were pushing so forward, but with how full the crowds were and how happy everybody was, and then just listening to like these everyday news reporters have to like share this happy news and talk about basketball and they were elated. They were so happy to do it, even if they didn't know what they were talking about. Seeing everybody. I think my favorite was you'd get cheers for the basketball players, but not the mayor.
Dog. I mean, it's exactly. It's just dope to see so many people hyped and happy. Yes. And I've never, I don't think I've ever been in a city when they won the championship, but I've heard it's the best thing in the world. New York looked amazing.
You're a Blazers fan, correct?
Yeah.
I wasn't
alive in 1977.
But what would a championship parade look like in Portland is what I really want to know.
I think it would look just like it did in New York. I mean, I think it would go nuts here.
Would they all be on bicycles instead of...
Cause like yeah, maybe. Clothing optional. A lot of naked people. A lot of weed. That's what I'm saying. It looks like the most fun thing in the world. Yes. New York, I bet you everywhere shut down the next day. Everyone's like, yeah, you can't be coming into work. Nope. Obviously. You can't even move.
Nope.
Yeah, red.
The closest thing Portland had was when the Timbers won the MLS Cup in 2015. I remember that. That was pretty special. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't come close to what the Blazers bringing a title back to Portland.
I can't even imagine.
You guys would definitely get a new stadium after that.
I wonder what's happening with that. I don't know.
You know.
We'll see.
Yeah. When did you see you're a stand-up comic? You're actually a very hardworking comic. You have a lot of shows going on and stuff. But like, how did comedy find you?
Well, I grew up in South Dakota.
Okay.
And it was like 2000. Been doing it a while. Like 2005, I think I started.
Okay.
And I worked at a call center, and somebody, I just thought I was funny. I never had aspirations to do stand-up or anything like that. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't nine and watching Chris Rock or anything. I enjoyed stand-up, but I had no aspirations. I wanted to be a professional skateboarder. That was my whole goal in life. And then I got hurt too much, and I wasn't good enough anyway. So that wasn't going
to
pan out.
That skateboarding scene back in the 2000s, man, it got me too. I had never gotten on a skateboard in my life, but I would watch it on TV, and I would play the Tony Hawk video games and then dress like a skater and think I was totally in the group.
I mean, more the merrier as far as I'm concerned. I was like, yes, everybody adopt the look, and so it's like normalized. But I was really good. I mean, I still skate. I was really good, but it was just wasn't going to work for a myriad of reasons. Anyway, I worked at call centers because I didn't really go to college, didn't really have any direction or anything.
Right.
And I was fine. I wasn't depressed or anything. It was like easy money.
Yeah.
They don't really care what you do at a call center. I mean, it's a pretty easy job. You just have to be able to tolerate being on the phone for 8 hours a day, which sucks. One day there was a comedy contest my buddy heard on the radio, and he told me I should go enter it. And I, you know, like one of those foolish, thought I was funny, thought I could just go riff. So I did, and I did terrible. But I won because, oh, wow. Like we were talking about the helium contest, or any comedy contest for that matter, but I brought probably 150 people. Like everybody I knew, in Sioux Falls, like every single person, I was like, come down here and vote for me. So they all voted for me. So I won the first round, which is audience votes. That was the very first time I ever did stand up. And then the next round was judging, which somehow I won. I was the best bad person, you know?
Not a bad thing.
And then I just started hosting almost every show they had. So I worked at the comedy club for years.
Wow,
and
that led to hosting spots too. That's very cool.
Yeah, that was the prize, I think, was I got a room at the Hampton Inn for a night. I got a gift card for Apple or Chili's. I haven't thought about this in years. I got a gift card for Chili's, a room at the Hampton Inn, and then an audition to host some shows. And there wasn't really any comedians that lived in town. There were three other ones other than me. And I just started showing up there every night. I would host one show, and then I would just hang out all the other nights. And then I started working the door, and I would bartend, and I would like work the ticket booth, and then I would just go host the shows after I sat people. And then I was hosting like 6-7 shows a week. Until they went out of business.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Did you have a joke for like, hey, I know you just saw me seating you. Now
I did not. I had nothing. I mean, I did the same probably 15 minutes for 3 years.
Oh wow,
dude! People would be so nice too. They'd come up and they'd be like, "Love watching you. Love it. It'd be awesome if you did a new joke sometimes." And I remember I'd be like, "Whatever, bro. It's hard. You don't even know." And then you realize. Now I realize how it's like. Yeah, you got a new. You're doing every single show in a small town. Yeah. They're going to see it. They saw it for years, and they were nice about it.
That's true. That's very.
They might still see it in their sleep.
I wouldn't be surprised. There were some people that were there every single Wednesday. It was T-shirt night. So if you wore a Nitwits T-shirt, you got them for free.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's multiple people. They'd come every week, and I'd do the same stuff every week.
Did you get some pretty cool comedians coming in?
Yeah.
It's a small market, so I wasn't, you don't know who necessarily comes through.
Yeah, I mean, it was in this, like, beginning of what I think would turn into this real, popular comedy club era. Mm-hmm. But that's how I met Doug Benson, if you know Doug.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He came through, and that's how I met Doug, and Doug helped me. Him and this other, another friend of mine, Ian Carmel, they're, like, the two reasons that I even do this.
Wow.
That they've helped me so much, I can't even begin to say what they've done for me, but Doug was I met Doug before Ian, and Doug helped me tremendously. Helped me when I got to Portland. He's the first person that took me on the road, right. But I met him at Nitwits, and of countless other people that I'm still friends with. Brendan Walsh, David Huntsberger, Tammy Pescatelli used to come through.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Augie Smith, who's a Portland guy.
Augie Smith's great. Mm-hmm. Love Ian Carmel. Doug Benson sticks with me because my first discovering him was his Getting Doug with High show.
Yeah.
And where he would, smoke weed with other comedians and mm-hmm. stuff.
The YouTube show?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. That was he was hilarious, but it was even more funny watching the guests he'd have react to being just far too high with
him. I never did. I can't really smoke weed. It hits me and I think I'm going to die every time.
And that's what a lot of them acted like.
One hit, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to die. So he would ask, he's like, you do it, you can drink. And I'm like, I don't really go with it,
Yeah,
So I just never did it, but I always liked it.
So he was doing those when you guys met?
No, he was. I don't even know if he was like the weed guy yet.
Okay,
he would smoke, but then him and Arch Barker would do the marijuana logs whenever that started. And then he started doing, he did Super Jaime, and then, Getting Dug with High. That was one of them, too.
Awesome. Another awesome thing, dancing into the room right now, fresh off of missing two episodes for getting his butthole waxed.
Oh, my God.
I'm surprised he didn't slip out of the chair. I mean, he's nice and smooth now. But we've got Brian Brooks is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo, what's up?
Ryan, this is Sean Jordan. We were just
what's happening, Sean,
man? Dude? What's
going on? We're talking.
I forgot. Two shows I miss, and I can't even figure out how these things work.
They go on your head.
They go.
Yep. It is funny.
Oh, this one says they have markings.
Rights and lefts. There you
dude,
go,
dude. Okay, so there's a big old crash on I-5, like north, and all the lanes were closed. So you had to get off and like go around, and it was a nightmare. But thank God. Thank God for motorcycles, baby.
I was going to say, did you run here? You're out of breath.
No, dude. Well, when you're sitting out, like when you're sitting on a motorcycle in traffic, it's like a million degrees.
So you're not the guy that just kind of swoves through between people or like goes into the far like right or left lane and drives.
Of course
through that
not. You know
side?
Why? Because that's illegal. And I would never, ever do that to get to the radio show to make the second half of the show ever. I for sure want to go on record and say that I would never, ever do that.
You can cut the lanes in LA and California. It's legal.
Yeah, I know. Nobody likes a bragger, okay, dude? Yeah, and I know club dudes down there that go like 100 while lane splitting.
So scary.
I'm like, dude, I'm going like 10, allegedly. And
it happened the other
day
here.
It's terrifying.
Somebody, I was just sitting in my lane, but someone just came flying up, and I did not see him, and I'm like, holy God. Like, I get over quick just like anyone else.
Sure,
and that's
yeah.
It's always a reminder, like, look, always
oh,
look,
yeah.
Always keep your eyes out.
Yeah. Thank God, and this is going to sound very egotistical, but thank God my bike's loud enough for people to, like, hear me before they see me, because in the off chance that I do that again, not confessing that I do, that like people will like just kind of move out of your way so you can do that. You just give them a little nod in the rearview mirror, gosh. And you just on your merry way.
Yep.
But yeah, all four lanes were closed. I think somebody, you know, good night.
Somebody was taking a nap on the freeway.
I think so. A permanent one. You
your
might
loud
say.
Motorcycle
oh,
probably
no.
woke them up.
Yeah. Oh
yeah,
man. Okay. Right. I'm so psyched to be here. Hi. Hello, everyone. I've missed you all dearly. Do we have water now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, man. The little guys.
Oh, you got to be on time to get there.
Okay. No, you know what? Hey, I was on time on Sunday, dude.
I was not.
Sick. Thank you. All right. Don't let me interrupt too much. What are we talking about?
We're talking about, what was it?
Just started how I started doing stand up at the club in the contest though. We were going to talk
yes.
about contests.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So that's how I got into it. Some guy at the call center said I should go, do the contest. And I did.
So work, just from, cause I was a usher at Helium. That's how we met and mm-hmm. stuff. I've got so many ridiculous stories of, comedy fans just thinking they know everything or wanting certain seats or talking to me at the door and like hey, you know, you can get me in, right? Just a little early. Like I'm at the front of the line. I got here early. Just let me in. And then they like try to hand me money and it's like $5.
Let's see what Mr. Lincoln has to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're, I don't know if I've ever greased anyone for real, but I couldn't even entertain doing anything less than a 20. And even that could only be for like, if I wanted to get in front of someone on a roller coaster or something. Like if I was at dinner and I was trying to get a table, it has to be 100. I couldn't even bring myself to do it if it was. Yeah. I don't know. Have you ever done it? It seems
no,
I feel crazy.
I don't want to set myself up for that when they look at it and then look at me and like, that's not enough.
I know.
Like, I'm too scared of that to do it.
No, I learned through the internet in Vegas, if you want to like early check in and also like, you know, try to like schmooze a little bit of like the amenities or whatever. Yeah, when you hand your ID to like for them to verify your room, be like, hey, like, you know, oh, like we've been traveling all day, like if we could just like get into our room early and just like, you know, kind of like kick, like get changed or like wash our faces or something, like maybe take a shower, that'd be super great. And just like
they got rooms. I'm on the road all the time, and sometimes they'll be like four, you know, you're in Omaha and they go 4 o'clock check-in. Can't budge on that. Sometimes you get there at 8 in the morning and you go, yeah, we got rooms.
Yeah.
My a buddy of mine, Dan Van Kirk, he's another comedian. He was telling me, I don't know if the dollar amounts are correct, but he goes to Vegas all the time, and he was like, what he'll do is he'll go up, say he's got two 50s, and he'll slide him the 50s and be like, is there any way I can get in? Whatever, like you just said.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they say no, he goes, well, here's, you can keep one of those 50s for checking, and he'll take the other 50 back. He's like, I'm going to keep this because you didn't actually do it, but here's 50 for your trouble. So he'll give him 50. It might be two 20s.
Sure,
give
yeah.
him, I forget the dollar amounts, but
sure, yeah.
he'll give him money to try to be classy regardless, and if they can, he's like, you keep all that.
No, there you go.
That's what do you
cool
do?
Move
I no, I think
my
I
wife
think
would
that's,
kill me if I tried that.
I think yeah. yeah.
I was gonna say it's a far less for cool sure. move I just with see, a $5 bill.
I just see you sliding yeah. it and then her reaching over and sliding it back.
She's like, that's my yard money later.
Yeah.
No.
In Vegas, I'd be like, well, I'll just go sit at the bar for however long the room takes. That
sure,
would be
yeah.
You can find something to do.
Yeah.
But I hear stories now at Helium all the time from people. I feel like now is a weird time with comedy because everybody with the internet, they think that they're part of the show
yes.
and all that stuff. But the people trying to bring in knives and guns and stuff, they'll be like, yeah, there was not even Helium, any club. They'll be like, 10 knives today. But it's like, what are people bringing knives for?
Oh, my God. I got out of there just as they started. Like when I left Helium, they had just recently hired a security guard, because before that the ushers were the security. If somebody needed to be removed, they usually came to me, but they asked they asked the ushers.
I had to do that
people.
Back in the day too, and it's like, I'm not gonna run away from someone, but I'm not tough, I can handle it. But like if I'm in danger, sure.
Yeah.
But if somebody, there was a dude that he, on New Year's one time, he pissed in the corner, in the club.
Ooh.
He peed in the corner of it, way in the back, and you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And someone came over and they go, hey, that guy peed over there. And so I go over, not tough. I was like, just pee over here. And he goes, no. And he was huge. And he's like, no. And I go, all right, cool. And I walked away because if he didn't admit it, and this buddy came over and he goes, I didn't want to dime out my friend right in front of him. But yeah, he pissed over there. You got to get him out of here. So then I go over. I was like, get up. And he wouldn't do it. I go, get up. And he wouldn't do it. So there's a bar stool next to me. And I go, hey, get out of here.
Yeah.
And he started laughing in my face.
Yep.
And I had to go get the other waiter who's much smaller than me.
Sure.
I go, you got to help me get this guy out. I can't do it. So the waiter goes over, pulls him out. And this is a bit, the waiter's, this guy's probably a foot taller than my buddy Josh.
Yeah.
He pulls him out and we get in the hallway. So it's me, Josh, the other waiter, and this big guy who's taller than me. I'm 6'2", so this guy's probably 6'4".
Oh, man.
And then the guy starts talking and Josh takes his apron off and hands it to me. And he looks at the guy and he's like, what are you going to do about it? And then he just stood up to him and the guy didn't do a single thing about it. He left. He's like, you pissed in the corner of a comedy club. You're a loser. Just laying it out.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy's like, whatever. Talked all this noise out the door.
I work door at Belmont Inn.
Yeah, okay.
Fridays, Saturday nights.
Is it rough? It always seemed
cool. Nah, it's fine. It's a neighborhood bar. It's totally fine.
We had a Dr. Mario tournament there one time.
Oh,
I love that place.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that place. Good food, good pinball, great people.
Mm-hmm.
But the other night I was at work and there was a group of people at a table around the corner. And this guy walked by, made a look at him, thought that this person in the group was a former coworker, whatever. The person was like, hey, the woman was like, hey, don't look at me weird or whatever. The guy was like, I wasn't looking at you, this, that, and the other. And they were like, okay, well, just keep on your business. Like, you can leave now. And that apparently offended the guy's ego so much that he decided to stand there and just stare at them.
Dude, guys
and, like,
the
make
worst.
Them uncomfortable. We will continue this story in a minute.
I was going to let him finish, but no. Yeah.
No, it's fine. I can continue afterwards. There's not much to it afterwards. It's about ego and pride.
Stick around for the rest of this story and more when we get back from the break. This has been Rex's World on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver 99.9 FM.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Yeah, I'm up at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's C-O-L-U-M-B-I-A-N.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Welcome back to Rex's World. We're going to jump right back in this. I'm here with Sean Jordan. I'm here with co-host Brian Brooks.
Yo.
We've even got Ryan Black here. You heard him a little bit earlier. I
forgot What's
to introduce
up?
Him, but he's always here. We got Talking Sports coming up after this.
Oh, nice.
But you were in the middle. So some pride?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some pride got hurt?
Yeah, you know how men are.
Dude, seriously.
Dude, straight up.
Like, you were sitting there watching him, and you got to be like, seriously, leave. Like, yeah, you know, a woman doesn't need a reason to have you not to like want to have you not staring at her.
Well, and it was funny because I walked over and I was like, you know, because somebody came and got me and they were like, hey, this dude's like staring at us. He won't leave us alone. It's like, all right. So I go over there and I go, all right, let's just talk. And he starts talking at them. I'm like, no. I go, you and I are going to talk and then I'm going to talk to them. Like, we're all
just. Is he a scary dude or was he just some lurker?
Nah, just like. Just some dude, probably, I don't know, like, not my size, but, like, my height, maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, again, just another adult man with a bruised ego who apparently didn't like being told what to do. That was the whole basis of his argument was when people tell me what I can and cannot do or they try to tell me what to do, I'm going to do the opposite. And I had to break
nobody
it down.
Nobody likes being told that. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. People and talk about that and you're like, nobody likes it. Yeah.
And I had to break it down to him and be like, look, dude, what do you hope to gain from this?
Yeah. Like you're going to end up boning
that
girl.
I'm going to stand here. Because he was like, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to stare at them. And I go, what's it going to do for you? He goes, it's going to make me feel satisfied. And I go, okay, so just so we're clear, you were on your way to your car, which you've pointed out is right there at the end of the block, and now you will not willingly leave. Instead, you're going to continue to aggravate the situation by standing right here on the middle of the sidewalk, staring at these people.
Giving us all a good name.
Yeah. Like,
got to put some more body parts in my trunk.
That's
so, yeah,
right, dude. You're not doing like, anything. That's all good. I can think about. And he was like, you know, and he just goes on, and I go.
So this is outside.
This was outside.
So it's probably even harder
like,
to police.
I was like, look, just do yourself a favor. Do everybody a favor. You were already on your way to your car. Just go to your car and call it a night. Yeah. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
You don't got to make things worse. You don't got to make things any more annoying or weird or uncomfortable for anybody.
Just admit defeat, man.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Admit defeat and, like, go to your car and go home. And so he goes, you're talking to me respectful. I'll talk, like, this and that. Okay. And he walks over 5 feet behind them to where, like, one of those blue, like, bike racks is. And he just sits there and he's on his phone. I was like, you know what? He's technically away from the tables. He's technically away from you guys. There's not really much I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I turned to them and I turned to them and I was like, all right, look, maybe don't get mouthy with this guy. Like he said you did, which is fine if you did, but you know, obviously that made him mad. Let's not do that again. If I'm going to go right over here, if you need me, you just come right here, grab me, and I will pick him up and I'll walk him across the street. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just, it's male.
Guys, man.
It's fragile ego, dude.
Oh, absolutely.
It's fragile
That's
ego.
That's all it is. Like you, at
That's
the,
all it is.
At the club, like at stand-up shows, it happens mm-hmm. all the time where if it's someone heckling, it's always a guy who ended up saying it didn't hit the way they wanted it to or whatever. And so then that ego, once it's bruised, there's no unbruising it until the dude sleeps.
Right,
or like
right.
Girls will come up after the show where they'll say nothing crazy. You know, just if a girl comes up and says good set or her and her friend or whatever. And then without fail, a guy will come up, arm around, be like, what's up, bro? It was all right. Something like that. And you're like, you ain't got to neg me. I'm married. I'm not trying to push up on your wife.
Right.
You know, it's just this is just we're standing here. Doesn't make you, you know, you probably know your way around like a Sawzall, and I don't, you know, so give and take.
Congratulations.
It's right. It's just dudes, man.
Yes. It's so funny too, because like, at other bars that I've worked at too, like it happens all the time. Like you're nice to the girl, like when you're checking their ID or whatever, like, hey, how are you? Like, how's it going? Whatever, whatever, you know, and then the guy like, takes like a half a step closer into you than like the girl does. It's like, dude, I'm just being polite.
This isn't Roadhouse. I'm not, we're not going home together. Yeah. This is my job. I'm doing this, you know?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
No, I feel you. When I was working the door, same thing at the comedy club or bartending or whatever, any of it, where you're just like, cool out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Paying for a ticket to get in or paying admittance to get into a club does not give you the right to just do whatever you want.
Well, what it does,
they,
so like
they try to say that too.
I agree, and what I always say is like, you buying the ticket to go to the show, you don't have to laugh ever. It is my job to entertain you. If I'm not doing that, which however you see it, it's your opinion, so you're entitled to not like anything I do. You can sit there with your arms folded, and I shouldn't be mean about it. Really bugs me. Yeah. If someone's not laughing
and they're like the first three rows
within reason. I mean, sometimes it's just, what are you doing? This like it should be working and there's clearly something else going on. But if someone's not having a good time, I would never look at them and be like, what's up with you? You know, it's my job. And if they're not having a good time, they can get up and leave. And I can't give them. If somebody gets up and leaves, this is another pet peeve. I can't say anything bad to them. They just, because you can leave. That's fine. Go for it.
Yes.
But in turn, what you don't get to do is you don't get to heckle or whatever. And I also believe that as the comedian, I don't have the right to just be like, what's up, dickhead, nice shirt. You know, you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. So
there's these rules. It's like a give and take. But one thing you can't do is like bark at me.
That's kind of the same. It's funny because it's kind of the same realm of like we kind of it's a linear like a parallel realm of like. In pro wrestling.
With wrestling? Sure.
With wrestling, it's 100% the same thing. Like,
yeah.
We would, like, singling somebody out with, like a cheap call. Like, we have a term. Like, we have a term for that. And, like, it's just, like, it's, you're, like, yeah, you're, like, oh, look at you. Like, you know, somebody boos you in the front row. You're, like, yeah, whatever, fatso. Like, why did I have to say that? I didn't have, I shouldn't say that to you. You know what I mean? Or, like, I've had to tell, like, owners of, companies like yo you like you have to stop like you have to stop calling women fat like you gotta stop doing that dude like I got a fiance and I got like a little girl like you know I'm not gonna listen to you call women fat every single week in week out just so you can have somebody to talk to.
And you're like,
meanwhile, they have a beer belly 90% of the time themselves. Uh-huh.
A lot of them are.
Oh bro.
Oh nope. Yeah dude. Yep. Oh yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that like just absolutely bugs the hell out of me too. Like, and it's the same thing. And also on the same side of that coin, on the other side of that coin is people who think that they can be a part of the show if you come out and you are near them.
Oh bro, I was in Hood River a couple weeks ago. I'm at the end of my set, 3 minutes from being done probably. And I'm like closing it out. Some guy in the back some old rich dude stops. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he just steamrolled and he starts talking to me. And I was like, what made you think that was cool? And then everyone's all like, oh, man, this comedian's not going to be nice about it. And I could tell. And I go, I'm not going to be nice about it. I can't stand this. And I kind of went in on him. And then everybody was on edge. And then like two guys before me was, you know, no joke, looking at women and like talking about their boobs to their face. And I'm like, you guys are cheering this like scumbag.
Oh, yeah.
Who's talking to women about their bodies right in front of them.
Yeah.
And then some rich guy barks at me and I can't be a dick about it. And yeah. then every woman in there was like, good, get him, you know? Because there's, it's crazy the lines that people draw or what they think. Like, now I'm getting all pissed off. I'll flip the table over.
It's just, what we want.
I got no time for it. And it's my wife, we've got into it a couple times. She gets a little freaked out because if someone's being cool and they really are just having a good time, great. We can talk about that. And I'll be like, all right, but you got to be quiet. But if somebody does anything disrespectful, I go immediately, I'm like, I have no time for this shit.
Oh, dude.
Shut the fuck up. If they won't, then I'm like, they're leaving. They're out.
Well, you got to set a tone. You got to put them in a place.
I got no time for it.
Yeah, 100%. I'm
sorry for swearing.
My fiance is like kind of in the same realm. Like, I don't think that she was used to, like, for a long time, like, she dated dudes who, like, wouldn't, like, not necessarily, like, wouldn't stand up for her, but just, like, if some dude made, like, some, you know, like, comment at a bar if they were out, like, they just, like, wouldn't say anything. And I'm, like, the total opposite. Like, I would, you say anything, like, you can say whatever you want to me. You can go on a 20-minute tirade head to toe and you can pick me apart. The second you bring in her into it, like, my brain just shuts off and it just becomes TV static and, like, mountain, like, soda pop up there, dude. Ooh,
yeah. That,
and, like, I don't, you know, and it's not like, oh, because I'm, like, a big tough guy, like, but, like you were saying, like, just, nobody has time for that shit.
There's certain triggers. I mean, it's different for everyone. And
sorry, Jono.
I was, there was a girl I was dating that, I was at the bar that I worked at in Sioux Falls. It was like an off night, but some guy came up and he just wouldn't stop talking to her. And I was I'm like, hey, you know, I'm her boyfriend. It's like, I get it. You're shooting your shot. It's fine. I'm not mad at you. You gotta dip. And he looks at me. He's like, this is your girlfriend? And I go, yeah, man. And he goes, I'm going to hit you right now. And I go, and I was it. This is my bar. I was like, I wasn't being like, you know, raising my hand, but I was like, don't do that. You know, I would not do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my buddy is standing behind me because he kind of caught wind of what was happening. I could feel him like clenching up his fist. And I'm like, stop, you know. And I go to the guy. I was like, please, man, do not. And he keeps talking. Then his buddy comes over and he's like, what's up? And I explained to him. And it turns out it was this guy's older brother. And he, like, twisted the kid's ear. He's like, what are you doing? And he pulled the kid out of the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so that embarrassing moment. That's just, 100%.
Like a principal would take him out of the bar. It was tight.
Gosh.
Guys, man, there we are.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, too, because they think that they're getting at, especially with comedians, they think that they're getting at you guys by, like, making a crack or trying to be funny or, like, interrupting the show. And, yes, it does, but it doesn't hurt far as much than, like, just not laughing.
Yeah, if I have a bad, you want to wreck my night.
Yeah.
Don't laugh.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'll think about that for years.
Yeah.
I've been beat up. And I've had bad shows, and those bad shows resonate with me so much more than any time I've been hit in the face.
For sure.
Yes. Especially on a joke you really like that normally hits, and everybody's loving it, and the room's loving it, but that one person in, like, the third row that you can see with the because of the lights.
You can't start sweating quicker. Nothing can make you start sweating quicker than that, where you're like, oh, no. And you're just, I can feel it on my face.
Sure,
you're shining now.
Yeah.
Bro, it's the worst.
That being said, there's a lot that goes into having to prepare for a competition like you were talking to before. And when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about Portland's funniest person and the competition going on. Sean has competed in the past, is not competing this year, so you got pretty neutral ideas.
Sure, yeah.
And when we get back, KXRW Vancouver, 99.9 Rex's World, we will have lots more to talk about.
K
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的 语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
And welcome back to Rex's World. I am Rex. We're here with Sean Jordan, Brian Brooks, and Ryan Black. We were just actually laughing at the little... Since you guys have heard Ryan for two episodes, you know, there's a little bit of heckling going on, you know. Ryan's kind of positioned semi behind Brian during this episode, and when Brian says something, there's that Ryan just shakes his head and makes this face, and I'm stirring the pot right now.
I promise you I do not.
Ryan knows not to get on my bad side.
My bad
side is exactly behind.
I did that one time with a promo and I learned my lesson.
It's because he can't fully turn his neck. He's got to turn his shoulders to look behind. It's because you're buff.
Okay.
The traps get in the way, Playboy.
Yeah,
that's right.
Duh. You're just too jacked. I am not also afraid of Brian, clearly.
That's true.
All right. We were talking about the club and competitions and things like that. Currently going on is the Portland's Funniest Person, and you're not participating in this year.
I haven't done it for a few years. I don't know if it'd be well received. This is what we were talking about because I'm like a working. It's my full time job. I've been doing it for such a long time, but I also don't think I would win. So I really don't think it would matter.
I respect that. I respect that 100%.
The last thing I would want is someone to think that I was sandbagging it to try to win. Mm-hmm. I did want to do it last year, and I jokingly said to the manager, like, I'm going to enter. And then they were like, you're not serious, are you? So, and I go, no. But because now I wouldn't be nervous, which would be great.
Right.
Because, you know, before you get so nervous and it just ruins your whole experience. Yeah. And now it would be fun. But if I did win, I feel like that would be sort of not cheating, but it's just like uncouth to, you know, I don't know if it would necessarily help me. It wouldn't be a stepping stone right now as it would have been 10 years ago if I would have won.
Yeah.
When all my goddamn friends won and I never did. But that's not bitter about it. Don't worry about it.
You didn't get a cool painting in
the lobby?
Posse
run twice. No, I didn't get it. No. I remember the last time I did it, I honestly thought I was going to win because I also made the finals every single time I did it, which was such a bummer because then you never win. Yeah. But the last year I did it, I thought I was going to I did my set. I thought it went well. And then my buddy came up, Phil Schallberger, another very funny comedian.
Yeah, Phil's great.
He came up and he goes, "Oh, that sucks about your mic." I go, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Sounded like you were underwater the whole time." And I'm like, "Come on,
oh,
man."
My
so I knew,
gosh.
Like, I knew right away I was going to win. But I had such a killer set.
That sucks.
And then I moved to LA and I, you know, didn't do it forever. And then I moved back and I don't, you know, because they used to make you do it. If you worked there, they used to make you do it. And now. They've never mentioned it.
Is it at Helium?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
It's a multi-day, so it's like a multi round tournament. It basically goes all summer. But the hard part is, and I've always disliked this part, is the first round is fan vote. So if you're there and you're really funny, but you didn't bring 15 or 16 people because it's your first time doing comedy. It's going to be a little bit harder to go through.
That's why I remember a few times some buddies didn't bring anyone and they didn't make it. I'm like, you gotta call
house,
in the
dog.
Favors just yes. for the first round.
Sure. Just the first round.
The second round is like, you know, DJs and club people that put on shows and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
audience votes or it's a judges panel.
Yes, they have a judges panel the rest of the time. Sure. But you've got to get through that first round. And I've seen so many amazing comedians who lose out to first timers because they had basically their whole family there in the crowd watching them do comedy for the first time instead of going to an open mic.
And it's so bad. Yes, everyone's bad the first time they do it. You're not supposed to be good.
Yes,
so they have a horrible set or they'll just do, they'll talk about all this, you know, all the stuff that most people don't talk about.
Yes,
just to put it lightly.
They want to be edgy.
And they'll do that, and they'll win, and you're like, you had graphic. Anyway, it's just very.
Yeah, they'll. Yeah.
But then
That's one thing that like, that's one thing that like I just like, really puts me off with like a comic is if you're like overtly like graphic, like trying to be like edgy, funny, and it's like. Overtly like sexual or like sexually demeaning. I'm like, this is boring.
Nah, I don't like it. I know what you mean.
I hate it.
Anything can be good, but you gotta
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, Bill Burr will do something and then 1,000 guys will think they can do it because they saw Bill Burr do it and you're like, every word that he said was so thought out and so meticulous.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't seem like it. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And that's why that joke worked when he did it. And you can't just get up and talk about beating your wife. It's just not the same. It just
isn't. You
also isn't...
can't do it because you're not from South Boston.
The accent does help.
The another thing that'll happen in these contests is like sometimes the later rounds there'll be judges, and it'll be having been in Portland for years and years. The judges will be people that have seen me do stand up 100, 200 times, and I'm like you say what you want, but there's no way. You can act like you're not sick of this joke, you know? So, of course, you just can't be. Like, a jury can't strike something from the record. If I said something, you can't be like, all right, but you got to forget that. You're like, I can't. It's right there.
And you're not coming to this competition using new material.
You're
using your best stuff.
I do believe that it always shakes out to where a very, very deserving person is won. There's never been a year where it's like, how'd that happen?
Right. It does weed itself out, thankfully.
Yeah.
Like some of them do make it through, but man, I would much rather see it be a close fight instead of okay. Well, this person lucked out by getting roped in with all the, you know, people that got the family votes in for their second round.
I remember like signing up and you'd see all the people that were in and you'd get all nervous and it's kind of fun, you know, and then you make it to the finals or whatever. So like, I understand it's fun. It's a business strategy more than anything, which
absolutely.
I didn't understand when I was younger. It's like, this is how a comedy club sells tickets all summer.
And I do got to give them credit. A lot of the times when you win, you get a lot of work afterwards.
Yeah, it can definitely help. And it's a good stepping stone that leads to a lot of other things. It's not going to change anything. But this is talked about this with a few people too. Like, anything that I've ever got, I kind of always thought it was going to change a lot, like a lot of stuff, and it never did. Yeah. I bit my tongue weird. That's why I said lot weird the first time. You guys catch that when I go, wow. It's because I bit my tongue. Anyway, but like I did the Late Late Show with James Corden, and I thought things were going to really change, and they didn't. Or I did a Comedy Central set, but they changed a little bit. And then after time, you look back and you realize that you did all these things, and that's how you got to where you are. You just didn't realize it was happening
right.
but it did happen and it does happen. And Portland's funniest or whatever, Austin's funniest or whatever it is, that is a big stepping stone in that right direction. Because now if you win that contest and then someone's coming to do the Keller or whatever and they don't have an opener, they're going to see who, they'll call the club or whatever, who won the contest. Jordan Kasner won it. Well, maybe Jordan wants to open for this show. And so that's how it all goes. And then you meet the person who's headlining the Keller, whoever that is, Chelsea Handler or something. She brings her openers, but just as an example, you know.
Yeah.
Now you know that person. You go to LA to do some shows. You hit them up. They get you on some local LA shows. You meet people on those shows. You expand your network. And like that's how one of the ways it can work.
It's not about what you know. It's about who you know.
It's even about being funny. I swear to God, if you're funny, it's a bonus. It's luck. It's a lot of luck, a lot of talent, a lot of who you know, a lot of how nice and cool you are just by nature. Like if you just, people got to like you. It's just part of the deal. In anything, in pro sports or being a pro skater, a wrestler, whatever it is.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say like it's almost the same in wrestling. It's like, you know, who are some people that you have wrestled?
Yeah.
And that's it. Like I wrestled twice over the weekend last weekend. And, when I was in Longview on Saturday, I saw a good friend of mine who he just moved here from Vegas. Cause he was out here all the time wrestling up and down in Oregon, Washington and like California and stuff. And, I was excited to see him, but as soon as I saw him, I was like, great, now who am I going to call in Vegas to get wrestling bookings? Yeah, dude. Great, dude, thanks. I'm happy you live here and like you're my dog, but like, thanks, dude.
What is your favorite?
That territory doesn't exist.
Yeah, now it's just a little black mark on the map. What's your favorite wrestling movie?
What's my favorite wrestling movie?
Oh,
my favorite wrestling movie.
There's not a ton, God. But there are some.
You're going to get mad at my pick, so you're going to have to go first.
Or I'll even let you go, what's your favorite movie with wrestling in it? So like Spider-Man, for example, where Randy Savage is in there. Like if you can't pick a specific movie, like what's your favorite wrestling moment in a movie?
I would say favorite wrestling movie? It's got to be the Iron Claw.
That's my second. That's my first is Ready to Rumble.
I was going to say, I knew it. No. Ready to Rumble is fine because it's like almost campy, like how good it is. Oh, yeah. Like I think of Ready to Rumble in the same realm of like how Grind is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like the skateboarding movie.
Making
like
Grind, too. Grind.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, are they really?
They are. It's confirmed. Wow, everyone's going to be in it. I know. Same cast.
Adam Brody. Hell yeah.
Do you guys remember No Holds Barred? Hulk Hogan and Zeus?
Yeah. That's a good one. Is that your favorite?
That was the one that sticks out.
That's the one that sticks out?
Yeah. So bad. But.
There's also a segment on, what is it? There's also a segment on, I think, there's also a segment with Billy Gunn on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many good.
That's a really good one.
Yeah,
my favorite pop up in a show would probably be Boys Meets World with Vader.
Meets World with
Vader.
Yeah.
Wasn't Hogan in Home Alone 2? The one where they were in New York.
I don't think so.
When he was lost in New York, Hogan wasn't in that.
I don't remember Hulk Hogan being in that.
I don't remember him being in that either. Yeah, I also the bone saw thing. Yeah,
bone saw's ready.
Saw.
3 minutes of playtime. I had wrestling buddies when I was a kid. I probably got out of wrestling in 93, maybe, is when I started.
Okay.
In the interim before I started skateboarding, I just kind of got more into football than wrestling.
Sure,
but up until then, wrestling buddies. I don't know if you guys remember wrestling buddies,
little
guys.
Yeah, the little.
I had Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior, nice. Jake the Snake, Big Boss Man.
I have the Jake the Snake ones too.
You really?
Yeah.
It's gotta be worth so much money.
We talked about this a bunch, and we already know each other's answers. But who is your favorite wrestler of all time?
Well, from my knowledge of when I was into wrestling, I don't know, man. It's tough because it was so. In the old WWF, everybody there was such an identity with everybody.
Yeah.
And if I go back, I almost don't like going back because it wrecks it for me. Because I'm like, Brutus the Barber Beefcake was not even in shape. You know, not even a little bit. But to me, he was like an Adonis.
So yeah. Like my favorite, if I can do this, I'd pick probably Legion of Doom.
Okay.
If I can do that.
I think that's fair.
It was just so awesome to me. I liked just everything they did. I loved them. Hawk and Animal. What was the other one?
It was Hawk and Animal.
Wasn't there a third one for a minute? Am I making
If you want to count Heidenreich.
Nah, that's not what I'm thinking of. Anyway, Hawk and Animal. They were
Hawk and Animal.
Demolition had three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They just
recently
got in the Hall of Fame,
too. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Hawk and Animal, that's great.
I'm surprised being so into skating that wrestling didn't stick around so much, because those things seem to go together.
Skating completely. This is 96, so it wasn't. There was no wrestling in there at all.
Okay, so it wasn't wrestling like The Rock back, and Stone Cold and stuff yet.
It came back probably when I was like a junior, so maybe 98, 99.
Okay, yeah.
So I had 3 years of just skateboarding, and that's all it made its like own myelin sheath over my brain, where I'm like, nothing else is getting in until comedy. Comedy was the thing that got in that it's almost the same. You can work on it. It's just, there's so many similarities with it. So that crept in, and now that's kind of taken over, sadly. I skate. I still skate, but I'm old. I don't want to jump a ton. So I'll go skate a couple times a week, but comedy took over.
Yeah, when I was probably like elementary into like middle school, it was like skateboarding and pro wrestling, and pro wrestling really took over, like kind of like was like a 51-50 kind of thing when I lived in Klamath Falls for a couple of years. But and it was because I had the CD compilation that was all of the entrances. And it wasn't until a friend of ours built like a makeshift ring on the ground in his yard that we were really like, we're onto something here.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's no, dude, it sucked so bad. Oh, it sucked. And yeah, we were just like, we'd be at the door and we'd push skip the track, like whoever we were going to be, push it and like close the door real quick. Whip the door open, just come like strutting outside. Oh yeah, dude. Oh yeah, 100%.
It was the honky tonk man for you, huh? I can just see you coming out. It's the honky tonk man.
Oh no, dude. I was a Hardy Boy through and through. Oh yeah. Yeah. All I wanted to do was front flip onto my friends on the ground. Oh,
yeah, they're dangerous. I like that.
There's not too much different now, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. I've taken a cannonball from Brian into the corner, and that's basically the same thing. He just gets a running start from one side of the ring, and I'm like sitting in the corner, and he gets this running start, and he just does this front flip into me. Yeah. Oh yeah. Never.
Keep skating.
It never not hurts. Yeah. It never doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Was it the title match when I knocked the wind out of you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And hurt a rib. I had to, like,
yeah,
that was,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that was part of my break was because of the rib injury.
I was setting him up for it, and I just had the rope that I went to give him like a shoulder tackle into the thing, and he was just like a microscopic micro inch, like just a little bit too forward than he should have been. And I just shoulder right into the gut, knocked the wind out of him, and I hear him go, "Okay, go ahead,
just
do it." That was the cue for me to go into the cannonball.
Yep.
And he's just sitting there, and I just see him going,
mm-hmm.
"Just do it, dude."
It's not like it's not gonna hurt.
Yeah, dude.
Oh yeah.
My favorite was when I was talking to Caleb the next day. He was like, "Ah, this is what death feels like." Okay. Yeah.
I can't breathe in. Yeah. I can't breathe out.
My favorite thing when I go to the beginner class at the wrestling school is I always, anytime like we're doing like drills and stuff, and it's, you know, anytime it's some type of like splash or like a clothesline or whatever kind of drill, and I just get in there with somebody who's like a third my size, they just turn and they go, "Oh man."
they try that like elementary, like cut, like count the people and try to cut the line. Like, "Oh no, you can go ahead.
And it's always funny too, because when I do something and Ricky will just go, "No, no, no, he can take it, give it to him again." And they just look at him and they're like, come on, dude. And I like give him like a, you know, like a big like sidewalk slam or something again. They're like, all right, you've made your point.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, we're getting close to that time. One thing I wanted to talk about is you got shows coming up. You've got a really important one coming up, a fundraiser show. Do you want to give us some details on that?
At Show Bar at Rev Hall, yeah, my wife and her brother and a team of folks are making a documentary about a group of young adults that did a Talking Heads cover show at Rev Hall like 3 years ago.
Oh, right.
And they're adults with developmental challenges, and they all did a cover show, and it's phenomenal. And my wife was hired to film it, and in filming it, they kind of realized like this would make a really good documentary because they were filming all the behind the scenes and everything too.
Oh.
So then they, for the last few years, they've been working on it. Funding and everything is what we're trying to raise money for.
Yeah.
All that stuff like editing, B-roll, they have to fly here and there to get interviews and everything. So we're doing a show at Show Bar with Kyle Kinane, Susan Rice, and myself.
Wow,
so,
Kyle Kinane.
Kyle Kinane.
Love Kyle Kinane.
Love Kyle.
When?
Kyle. July 6th. It's a Monday, okay. So you ain't got anything else going on. Tickets there, I think it's like $40. It's very worth it. Kyle and Susan are phenomenal.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm pretty good at what I do myself, so it'll be a very fun show. So come on out to that. That's all I can. And Sean Cougar Mellon Jordan on Instagram. That's where I'll plug it always. So if you want to follow on there,
I love your Instagram name.
It's getting to the point where I'm like, nobody knows who that is anymore. So now it's just like I'm making up words and people don't get it. Sean Cougar Mellon Jordan. So it's like John Cougar Mellon Camp, yeah, but like the amount of people that'll like say. They'll say, like, what's your Instagram? Sean Cougar Mellon Camp? And I go, no, that wouldn't even be funny. It's like if you take the Cougar Mellon part and you put it in anyone's name, and that's funny. It always is. Any first and last name, you put Cougar Mellon in the middle, it's always funny. But it's like he hasn't been, I don't know, he's still famous, but people haven't really been talking about him for 20 years.
For right now.
Yeah.
Right. Now the clock resets.
I know, Google's going to tick up on him. But, yeah, that's the Instagram. So if you want to follow, I'll be plugging it on there.
Nice.
Very cool. Very nice. Well, guys.
And thanks for having me. This is fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please.
Thank you.
Sean Cougar Mellon Jordan on Instagram. Yeah. Go follow him. You've got to see all of the stuff he's got going on because this man is hilarious. He's a great comic. He's also a great representative of the comedy community here in Portland.
Thank you.
I always got to commend
Let
you
me
for
come
that.
Back. We can talk about bar fights.
Dude,
we can do that for an hour.
Back.
Oh, my God.
I think, there's been a handful of guests that have been through that have, like, on air, were like, oh, dude, you're always welcome. Welcome back, and you are one of them.
Thank
absolutely.
100%.
This has been Rex's World. I am Rip Rex, Brian Brooks, Ryan Black. Love to have you guys here. So glad you're here. Next time, Brian, maybe show up on time.
Yo, it wasn't my fault that somebody may or may not have RIP'd on the freeway, dude. All right.
Good thing they didn't RIP poop.
I'm pretty sure, dude.
Well, just on your motorcycle, drive around it.
I did.
All right, guys, we got to get around to ending this show. This has been Rex's World, KXRW Vancouver Independent Radio, 99.9 FM. Everybody at Mount Vernon, the world is yours. Long Island, yo, the world is yours. Staten Island, yeah, the world is yours. South Bronx, the world is yours.